Welcome back to Built in the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. As we continue our special feature on the Hurricane Harvey impact, taking a look at how it's impacting the Bakken, we talk with the director for the Western Dakota Energy Association, Jeff Simon. Well, let's start off by, first of all, give you a quick plug of your organization, what it is that you guys are doing out in the Bakken oil field and out in Western North Dakota, and then also just kind of an update from the energy sector, if you will, from the meetings and the travels you've had.
Well, the Western Dakota Energy Association represents units of local government in the oil-producing region and the coal counties as well. So we look out for the interests of cities, counties, and school districts impacted by energy development. That's really the primary mission of the organization. Through both advocacy, lobbying, legislation, that sort of thing, as well as education, we try to keep our members informed through a weekly newsletter. As for the industry itself, I think most folks are aware of the activity is happening, but it is now concentrated pretty much in the core counties. By that, I'm talking about the main four there, McKenzie, Montrail, Williams, and Dunn. All the drilling activity, or nearly all of it, is concentrated in that area. But the impacts being felt are very real out there right now. We've got, you know, somewhere between 50 and 60 rigs working, depending upon the day. It ebbs and flows a little bit, but that represents a lot of truck activity and you know, just general impacts in those communities. And we need to look out for them and make sure that they're able to support the industry.
And I was going to ask that, too, as well, and we're going to get into your annual meeting in just a moment here, but given the fact that you do run into quite a few people as well as travel from different areas, I believe you're located in Bismarck, so, I mean, you get out in the field and other thing, but you're also, like I say, in touch with everybody else. There was a pretty good hiring blitz over the last 3-4 months. Is that starting to come to fruition a little bit? Are they still hiring? Are the guys in the field now? Do you know any of that information from your day-to-day conversations?
You know, from what I hear, Jason, there is a lot of hiring demand out there, and frankly, there aren't enough workers to fill the jobs. You know, from what I've been told, there are wells that are not completed because they can't hire enough folks for the frac crews to finish the well. So yeah, there's you know, definitely workforce needs out there. You know, the previous time around when the Bakken really took off, you know, 2009 and 10 and that part of the, you know, that time frame, we had a nationwide recession going on at that time. So people were looking for work, and that's really no longer the case. So it's much tougher now to find workers.
I would agree with that. I would even go a step further, you know, without trying to, you know, bring up what's going on down in the southern part of the United States with the hurricane happening, Harvey. But that is going to have an impact on the Bakken on several different fronts, from the refineries closing down, the ripple that has, to the workers that are going to be rebuilding down there after it sounds like the water's starting to recede a little bit, so they're starting to get more of a handle on things. You know, without getting insensitive and into much into speculation, has that kind of crossed your mind a little bit that the Bakken may be impacted by some of the things happening down in Texas?
Most definitely. You know, Texas, they're kind of the gorilla in the room in terms of oil production in the lower 48 here. And in fact, my lead article in our Friday newsletter, we send one out every Friday, was about the potential impact of Harvey on the petroleum industry, both refining and the crude production. Curiously, you know, initially what we've seen is gasoline prices and gasoline futures have gone up, but crude prices have gone down. I was puzzling over that, why that would be the case. But basically, demand is down at the refineries, so the price of crude went down. But demand for the product that the refineries produce is going to be high now because we've got some of them offline, so gasoline prices went up. It's really kind of a paradox. And I suspect, I don't know, I don't profess to be an oil industry or oil market expert, but I presume that'll change here in a week or two, depending upon how quickly those refineries come back online.
Yeah, I would imagine every day that they're shut down has, I don't know if it has a week impact, a month impact, or, you know, every day is a day. I'm not sure. I'm like you. I'm not quite an expert on those timelines and projections and that sort of thing. But I would guess that every day would be another I mean, it would take a while to rebound is what I'm getting at. Would you speculate in that direction or anything along those lines?
Well, yeah, I don't know much about refinery operation, but I know a restart takes a while and they're completely shut down. The other factor in here, too, is the reach of the rain event. I'm not sure it was impacted by the wind, but the rain impacted a portion of the Eagle Ford, and so a lot of the wells there were offline. And, of course, a lot of the platforms in the Gulf were also shut down during the storm, which, by the way, is still there. It's still happening.
Hmm. Well, let's transition. Of course, our prayers and our thoughts go out to everybody down there, and anything that... you know, that I imagine the oil industry is going to be stepping up and putting together a few different programs, that sort of thing. Of course, keep listening. We'll keep everybody posted on that, because a lot of this stuff is so dynamic right now. And as we kind of roll this out here, but let's talk about what you have coming up here at the annual meeting. First of all, let's get some of the dates and some of the information, and you know who you guys are expecting, that sort of thing. And then we'll kind of get into maybe a specific or two about what some of the topics are going to be about. So just kind of what's the overview to get people, in case they got a pen and paper, they want to write it down for the annual meeting coming up. Is it September or October?
It's actually November 1 and 2, November 1st and 2nd. And it will be at the Grand Dakota, or the Ramada Grand Dakota Lodge in Dickinson, which is just north of the interstate exit there. November 1st and 2nd, we're going to start out this year with a social. Typically, we've had a one-day meeting. We're going to have a little social get-together and perhaps a trade show if that comes together. The opening evening, 5:30, is when we're going to start the first evening, and then we'll have a full day's agenda the next day.
And what kind of speakers are you anticipating this year, and or topics are you going to be discussing?
Well, during the opening social, we expect Lieutenant Governor Brent Sanford, you know, the former mayor of Watford City, will be giving a few remarks from the governor's office, speaking on behalf of Governor Burgum. And we'll also have Cal Coolin talking about Highway 85 and the Theodore Roosevelt Expressway that evening. Just kind of a lighthearted program, not anything too heavy. And then the following day, we're kind of heavy into technology and the issues of the day in terms of the legislature. We've got a panel discussion on refracs and secondary oil recovery, you know, optimizing oil recovery. That's really kind of what the Bakken is all about. We heard the governor talk about that. In order to compete, you know, out here in the Bakken, we're transportation impaired. We're far from the market and far from the refineries. So through innovation, the producers in the Bakken have come up with better recovery techniques, figuring out how to do it better, cheaper, faster, you know. So that's a lot of what we're going to talk about initially. That's first off the program. And then we also have a presentation from Dr. Mike Holmes, who represents the Lignite Research Council, kind of filling us in on the latest in coal research. There are some very promising technology possibilities out there in terms of carbon dioxide reuse. Not just capture, but figuring out ways to reuse it. There's a project looking for rare earth elements in coal, which, you know, they're in every bit of electronics we've got these days. So that's a real promising possibility. And then we're going to talk about legislative issues, too. Senator Wardner will kind of give an overview of the interim. We've got a Hub City study underway again, looking at the proper level of funding for the oil-impacted communities.
To listen to the full-length interview with Jeff Simon, Director for the Western Dakota Energy Association, or to listen to other Hurricane Harvey impact features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spiesen. This is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. Is written and performed by the Moody River Band. To find out more about the Moody River Band or their music, visit our website, thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musician tab. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab. If you have any questions on oil, gas, or the Bakken, or any other energy development question, feel free to email the program at jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And feel free to like our Facebook page as well, That's facebook.com/buildingthebakken. That's facebook.com/buildingthebakken. Like us on Facebook today. Let me take a moment to talk to you about Eric Hatch and Hatch Coaching. Now with Hatch Coaching, you'll experience extreme transparency. Eric Hatch has built an empire on the business of helping others, and in this case, that means helping companies create wealth and abundance. By choosing Hatch Coaching, you're going to gain the knowledge and tools that will take your business to that next level. Eric Hatch speaks on workplace culture, honesty in the workplace, transparency, faith, compassionate capitalism, and many other topics that will grow your business. Make sure you call and reserve Eric Hatch today. 701-318-4946. That's 701-318-4946. Or I'll tell you what, send me an email, jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And I'll make sure that it gets to Eric Hatch. It's time for your company to create wealth and abundance too. Reserve Eric Hatch today.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. Learn more at mbienergyservices.com.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, Dr. Lauren C. Scott, energy expert and president of Lauren Scott & Associates. Dr. Lauren C. Scott on the line with us, with Lauren Scott & Associates, energy expert, as well as, what is it that you do at Louisiana State University again?
Of economics there. I was there for about 35 years full-time, and I now have emeritus status, which is a Latin word that means small interior office. the main thing I do for LSU now is to put out the Louisiana Economic Outlook every year. As a matter of fact, that's something I'm very deep into doing right now, writing that up. So that's the primary thing I do for them.
Okay, great. And the reason I wanted to make sure I brought that up is because I wanted to make sure there was some context with your responses, your answers, and your observations when it comes to the tragedy happening down in the southern parts of the states, primarily Texas, Louisiana, when it comes to Hurricane Harvey, and what that's done specifically with the oil and gas industry. Because when you start talking about refineries shutting down for days and that sort of thing, my first thought is that these shale plays are so connected that it's going to have a ripple effect, maybe not tomorrow, but down the line. Am I out of line for speculating that at this point?
The main thing, I think, is that I don't think that the refinery is going to be down a long time. To give you a kind of a reference point, back when Katrina hit and Rita hit back in 2005-2006, the refineries in Lake Charles, which were the primary breadbasket refineries got hit that time, they were down from August through almost December. They were down a long time, and that's because there was a lot of wind damage. It was like a level 3 or 4 hurricane when it hit the area. Of course, all these refineries are out of doors. All the capital is out of doors, so they sustained a lot of damage. Took them a good while to get back. In this particular case, I don't think they're going to be down a long time. And one indicator is the fact that one of the refineries in the earliest hit area over on the kind of western edge of where Harvey came in, the Flat Hills refinery, is already in the process of starting back up. So it's hard to tell right now because we don't have a whole lot of, I don't have any damage estimates on the ones in the Port Arthur, Beaumont, Houston area, which is where the real heart of these are, the really big ones are. But I really think that this is going to be a fairly short down period. And part of the reason is I don't think the damage is as bad as from water as it is from wind. And the second most important reason is these companies know that the longer they're down, they are losing lots and lots of money. And that's a great motivator to get out there and get them back up. So I don't think it's any impact it's going to have on logistics, like the importing of oil from up in the Bakken play or from the Permian Basin or wherever. I think it's going to be fairly short-lived.
I talked to Justin Kringstad earlier today, North Dakota Pipeline Authority. He brought up the Dakota Access Pipeline. With that coming on board, certainly opened up quite a bit in terms of opportunities and options, I guess, when it comes to, you know, with the refineries. And the other thing he brought up, or that we discussed, was the pipelines on the rail system. The over the last couple of years, that obviously decreased. But you kind of have a little bit of a, you know, harvest season happening with this particular incident down south with the refinery shutting down. Do you foresee any sort of a log jam on the rail at all, or with the pipelines opening up some flow to other areas?
No, I think the pipeline's going to reduce any kind of log jam on the rails. That's, matter of fact, there is a rail car manufacturing company, Union Tank Car, down here in kind of the middle part of our state. They fairly dramatically reduced their workforce because they weren't needing nearly as many tank cars to haul oil once the pipelines got fixed. You know, you started out having a problem with a bottleneck that existed when y'all shipped your oil down to Cushing, Oklahoma, and you were producing so much oil that there wasn't enough pipeline space to move it from Cushing, Oklahoma, down to our refining network down here. And it took about 3 years, but they reversed one pipeline that was going south to north to move it north to south, and they built a couple of other pipelines. They got rid of that bottleneck. And almost the minute they got rid of that bottleneck, the demand for rail cars went down. So I think any adverse effect of this is going to be hopefully very short-lived. Now, I'm saying that on the basis of very little information coming out about the nature of the damage to some of these refineries. But they are so strongly motivated to get fixed and get back up because of the amount of money involved that I don't think it's going to be a very long downtime.
And we should point out, too, that this interview is taking place while the waters have just started to recede a little bit, and it looks like they're getting somewhat of a handle on it. And not trying to be insensitive about the nature of what's happening down there, but at the same time, looking at it from so much of our economy is based on oil and gas, and the way that it's so connected. Do you see that anything down south in there, either in Texas or Louisiana down there, is going to impact gas prices?
I think it's going to be short-lived. I think it's going to go up some, and it already has. Gas futures prices, for example, have already popped up significantly, and you may even run into some shortages out there because some pipelines are down. And so, you know, some of the Colonial Pipeline, for example, is now not pumping gasoline up to the Northeast because there's not enough being produced out of those refineries because the refineries are down in the Houston area to keep it open. So you may have short-term spikes in gasoline prices, maybe even some shortages. But I think, again, it's going to be short-lived. I think you're going to see these refineries pop back up pretty quickly, and you'll have that void filled within a couple of weeks.
Dr. Lauren Scott, Lauren Scott and Associates, energy expert and economist on the line with us, does about, 50 to 100 presentations a year on oil and gas and how it operates in the economy. Just a couple questions left. First off, how's Louisiana doing? You are on the Louisiana side of things, and I've seen where reports about Louisiana. You're kind of down there. What's happening? I know you guys have a lot of natural gas facilities down there. What's going on with your guys' economy?
Well, I mean, we feel like we dodged the bullet. I mean, I was just talking to the people in Lake Charles, which is the most refinery intensive area of the state. One of them, we have two really intensive areas, but Lake Charles is the main one that got hit by Harvey. And they're all of their refineries are working, all their chemical plants are working. Very importantly for us too is the Gulf of Mexico. Again, when Katrina and Rita hit back in 05-06 time period, the winds were very, very high. It was a level 5 hurricane. It just tore the dickens out of all the pipeline infrastructure in the Gulf of Mexico. It upended a big old production platform and took it out of commission. But Harvey didn't do any of those things. All the pipelines are still in place. None of the production structures have been harmed, and I think, you know, very quickly you're going to start seeing production from the Gulf of Mexico come right back on after it had been shut down for a while.
To listen to the full-length interview with Dr. Lauren Scott or to listen to other Hurricane Harvey impact features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network.
I'm glad I don't live too far away. With the moonlight shining on my walk home, I'm breathing in cold, they're exhaling smoke. So quiet, I can hear it all. And I'm walking out.
Music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. To find out more about the Moody River Band or their music, visit our website, thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musician tab. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab. If you have any questions on oil, gas, or the Bakken, or any other energy development question, feel free to email the program at jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And feel free to like our Facebook page as well. That's facebook.com/buildingthebakken. That's facebook.com/buildingthebakken. Like us on Facebook today. Let me take a moment to talk to you about Eric Hatch and Hatch Coaching. Now, with Hatch Coaching, you'll experience extreme transparency. Eric Hatch has built an empire on the business of helping others, and in this case, that means helping companies create wealth and abundance. By choosing Hatch Coaching, you're going to gain the knowledge and tools that will take your business to that next level. Eric Hatch speaks on workplace culture, honesty in the workplace, transparency, faith, compassionate capitalism, and many other topics that will grow your business. Make sure you call and reserve Eric Hatch today, 701-318-4946. That's 701-318-4946. Or I'll tell you what, send me an email, jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And I'll make sure that it gets to Eric Hatch. It's time for your company to create wealth and abundance too. Reserve Eric Hatch today.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. Learn more at mbienergyservices.com.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. As we continue our special feature on the Hurricane Harvey impact, taking a look at how it's impacting the Bakken, we talk with the director for the Western Dakota Energy Association, Jeff Simon. Well, let's start off by, first of all, give you a quick plug of your organization, what it is that you guys are doing out in the Bakken oil field and out in western North Dakota, and then also just kind of an update from the energy sector, if you will, from the meetings and the travels you've had.
So the Western Dakota Energy Association represents units of local government in the oil-producing region and the coal counties as well. So we look out for the interests of cities, counties, and school districts impacted by energy development. That's really the primary mission of the organization. Through both advocacy, lobbying, legislation, that sort of thing, as well as education, we try to keep our members informed through a weekly newsletter. As for the industry itself, I think most folks are aware the activity is happening, but it is now concentrated pretty much in the core counties. By that, I'm talking about the main four there, McKenzie, Montreal, Williams, and Dunn. All the drilling activity, or nearly all of it, is concentrated in that area. But the impacts being felt are very real out there right now. We've got, you know, somewhere between 50 and 60 rigs working, depending upon the day. It ebbs and flows a little bit. But that represents a lot of truck activity and, you know, just general impacts in those communities. And we need to look out for them and make sure that they're able to support the industry.
And I was going to ask that, too, as well. And we're going to get into your annual meeting in just a moment here. But given the fact that you do run into quite a few people as well as travel from different areas, I believe you're located in Bismarck. So, I mean, you get out in the field and other thing, but you're also, like I say, in touch with everybody else. There was a pretty good hiring blitz over the last 3-4 months. Is that starting to come to fruition a little bit? Are they still hiring? Are the guys on the field now? Do you know any of that information from your day-to-day conversations?
You know, from what I hear, Jason, there is a lot of hiring demand out there, and frankly, there aren't enough workers to fill the jobs. You know, from what I've been told, there are wells that are not completed because they can't hire enough folks for the frac crews to finish the well. So yeah, there's you know, definitely workforce needs out there. You know, the previous time around when the Bakken really took off, you know, 2009 and 10 and that part of the, you know, that time frame, we had a nationwide recession going on at that time, so people were looking for work, and that's really no longer the case. So it's much tougher now to find workers.
I would agree with that. I would even go a step further, you know, without trying to, you know, bring up what's going on down in the southern part of the United States with the hurricane happening, Harvey, but that is going to have an impact on the Bakken on several different fronts, from the refineries closing down, the ripple that has, to the workers that are going to be rebuilding down there after it sounds like the water's starting to recede a little bit, so they're starting to get more of a handle on things. You know, without getting insensitive and in too much into speculation, has that kind of crossed your mind a little bit that the Bakken may be impacted by some of the things happening down in Texas?
Most definitely. You know, Texas, they're kind of the gorilla in the room in terms of oil production in the lower 48 here. And in fact, my lead article in our Friday newsletter, we send one out every Friday, was about the potential impact of Harvey on the petroleum industry, both refining and the crude production. Curiously, you know, initially what we've seen is gasoline prices and gasoline futures have gone up, but crude prices have gone down. I was puzzling over that, why that would be the case, but basically demand is down at the refineries, so the price of crude went down, but demand for the product that the refineries produce is going to be high now because we've got some of them offline, so gasoline prices went up. It's really kind of a paradox, and I suspect, I don't know, I don't profess to be an oil industry or oil market expert, but I presume that'll change here in a week or two, depending upon how quickly those refineries come back online.
Yeah, I would imagine every day that they're shut down has, I don't know if it has a week impact, a month impact, or, you know, every day is a day. I'm not sure. I'm like you. I'm not quite an expert on those timelines and projections and that sort of thing. But I would guess that every day would be another. I mean, it would take a while to rebound is what I'm getting at. Would you speculate in that direction or anything along those lines?
Well, yeah, I don't know much about refinery operation, but I know a restart takes a while and they're completely shut down. The other factor in here, too, is the reach of the rain event. I'm not sure it was impacted by the wind, but the rain impacted a portion of the Eagle Ford. And so a lot of the wells there were offline. And, of course, a lot of the platforms in the Gulf were also shut down during the storm, which, by the way, is still there. It's still happening.
Hmm. Well, let's transition. Of course, our prayers and our thoughts go out to everybody down there, and anything that you know, that I imagine the oil industry is going to be stepping up and putting together a few different programs, that sort of thing. Of course, keep listening. We'll keep everybody posted on that, because a lot of this stuff is so dynamic right now. And as we kind of roll this out here, but let's talk about what you have coming up here at the annual meeting. First of all, let's get some of the dates and some of the information, and you know who you guys are expecting, that sort of thing. And then we'll kind of get into maybe a specific or two about what some of the topics are going to be about. So just kind of what's the overview to get people, in case they got a pen and paper, they want to write it down for the annual meeting coming up. Is it September or October?
It's actually November 1 and 2, November 1st and 2nd, and it will be at the Grand Dakota, or the Ramada Grand Dakota Lodge in Dickinson, which is just north of the interstate exit there. November 1st and 2nd, we're going to start out this year with a social. Typically, we've had a one-day meeting. We're going to have a little social get-together and perhaps a trade show if that comes together. The opening evening, 5:30, is when we're going to start the first evening, and then we'll have a full day's agenda the next day.
And what kind of speakers are you anticipating this year, and or topics are you going to be discussing?
Well, during the opening social, we expect Lieutenant Governor Brent Sanford, you know, the former mayor of Watford City, will be kind of giving a few remarks from the governor's office, speaking on behalf of Governor Burgum. And we'll also have Cal Coolin talking about Highway 85 and the Theodore Roosevelt Expressway that evening. Just kind of a lighthearted program, not anything too heavy. And then the following day, we're kind of heavy into technology and, I'll say, you know, the issues of the day in terms of the legislature. We've got a panel discussion on refracs and secondary oil recovery, you know, optimizing oil recovery. That's really kind of what the Bakken is all about. We heard the governor talk about that. In order to compete, you know, out here in the Bakken, we're transportation impaired. We're far from the market and far from the refineries. So through innovation, the producers in the Bakken have come up with better recovery techniques, figuring out how to do it better, cheaper, faster, you know. So that's a lot of what we're going to talk about initially. That's first off the program. And then we also have a presentation from Dr. Mike Holmes, who represents the Lignite Research Council, kind of filling us in on the latest in coal research. There are some very promising technology possibilities out there in terms of carbon dioxide reuse. Not just capture, but figuring out ways to reuse it. There's a project looking for rare earth elements in coal, which, you know, they're in every bit of electronics we've got these days. So that's a real promising possibility. And then we're going to talk about legislative issues, too. Senator Wardner will kind of give an overview of the interim. We've got a Hub City study underway again, looking at the proper level of funding for the oil-impacted communities.
To listen to the full-length interview with Jeff Simon, Director for the Western Dakota Energy Association, or to listen to other Hurricane Harvey impact features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. Is written and performed by the Moody River Band. To find out more about the Moody River Band or their music, visit our website, thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musician tab. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab. If you have any questions on oil, gas, or the Bakken, or any other energy development question, feel free to email the program at jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And feel free to like our Facebook page as well. That's facebook.com/buildingthebakken. That's facebook.com/buildingthebakken. Like us on Facebook today. Let me take a moment to talk to you about Eric Hatch and Hatch Coaching. Now, with Hatch Coaching, you'll experience extreme transparency. Eric Hatch has built an empire on the business of helping others, and in this case, that means helping companies create wealth and abundance. By choosing Hatch Coaching, you're going to gain the knowledge and tools that will take your business to that next level. Eric Hatch speaks on workplace culture, honesty in the workplace, transparency, faith, compassionate capitalism, and many other topics that will grow your business. Make sure you call and reserve Eric Hatch today, 701-318-4946. That's 701-318-4946. Or I'll tell you what, send me an email, jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And I'll make sure that it gets to Eric Hatch. It's time for your company to create wealth and abundance too. Reserve Eric Hatch today.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. Learn more at mbienergyservices.com.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. As we continue our Hurricane Harvey Impact feature, we talk with Stephen Hines, energy columnist and owner of The Word Merchant. All right, we're being joined now by Professor Hines, Professor Stephen Hines, the Word Merchant, and the, of course, his latest stint as professor. University of Tulsa is where you can catch him during his latest stint. So how are you doing today, Professor?
I'm doing pretty good, Jason. How about yourself?
Oh, not doing too bad.
I have to get used to being called professor because I've sort of been, if you will, I suppose acting like a professor, but never sort of thinking of myself that way.
Well, we're happy we could have the professor on to talk about different oil and gas layered things, if you will. It's nice when you can have a professor on because then you can layer things together like the economy, one of the hardest things to predict, harder than oil and gas, harder than the climate. Well, maybe not. The climate's the hardest thing to predict. But anyway, let's talk about Hurricane Harvey and how that is going to impact the shale play economy, if you will. We had a refinery shut down. There's some other facilities, whether it be natural gas and that sort of thing, that either went on hiatus or shut down, something along those lines. Obviously, the hurricane not only has had its humanitarian toll, but it's also having an economic toll. So let's talk a little bit about that, Professor Hines. What do you make about this?
You know, I've been going through the arguments. As you know, I have 40 or so Google alerts, so I get news from around the world on a lot of these subjects. So I've been, thinking about it and following, the effects of Harvey on oil supply and all that. And I think what I can gather right now, Jason, is that there's going to be a wash between the people who haven't been able to use natural gas against, I think only one refinery, and that's in Louisiana, is really shut down. So I think if anything, there's going to be a downward pressure, on prices right now. But I think it's in the U.S.'s favor that this pressure, because we continue to upgrade our infrastructure, and a lot of it, especially natural gas and all, is underground, so it is not as exposed to the weather as, transmission lines, for example.
My guess is Wall Street's keeping a pretty close eye on this, wouldn't you think?
I think I've seen three or four Wall Street reports already on the net effect of Harvey. And, of course, is what their predictions are. You and I both know we've been around for a while. Predictions are okay, but to quote Yogi Berra, don't make predictions, especially about the future. In all honesty, I think that a certain amount of humility goes a long way in this whole area. And so I never like this jump on it immediately part of Wall Street and, you know, their research. It never feels complete to me.
How about gas prices? You hear anything on gas prices? I mean, it kind of seems like the price of oil was going down and gas prices were going up.
Well, I think that has as much to do with refineries and regional differences right now. And I guess also state taxes and all of that. So, to tell you the truth, I don't really even follow, you know, sort of the retail gas prices. You know, because my last trip when I saw you out in North Dakota, you know, it varied between Minnesota and North Dakota and Wisconsin. And, you know, I think it really has to do almost as much with the federal regulation as anything else right now.
Yeah, I kind of stopped following gas prices, too. When people started blaming some natural disaster in the Middle East, I was like, well, what's that got to do with me in North Dakota?
Well, you know, again, there is a big disconnect between the local effect and sort of the national, international effect. So I think that's one of the things that has astonished me is the reporting of the usual suspects in their headlines is just, it's kind of off the charts. They are, and I'm gonna name names right now. It's okay. They can't hurt me. They can't find Sheboygan to hurt me. But the New York Times had a headline a couple days ago, I think I even sent it to you, you know, about the hurricane that humans helped cause. And another, and I want to see, who is it? Another one of those sort of energy faddish sort of websites, you know, said that Harvey is the future thanks to climate change. Now, wait a minute, let's not get ahead of ourselves. You know, I think that internationally, in all honesty, I think places like South Africa are going to approve it. I think you're going to see this, Lancashire in England is going through the testing right now. They're slowly going to come online, and South Africa is talking about it, but I think...
To listen to the full-length interview with Stephen Hines, energy columnist, or to listen to other Hurricane Harvey impact features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard right here on the Crude Life Media Network. The music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. To find out more about the Moody River Band or their music, visit our website, thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musician tab. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab. If you have any questions on oil, gas, or the Bakken, or any other energy development question, feel free to email the program at jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And feel free to like our Facebook page as well. That's facebook.com/buildingthebakken. That's facebook.com/buildingthebakken. Like us on Facebook today. That concludes this week's episode of Building the Bakken Radio. Building the Bakken will be back next week at this time on this radio station. For a full list of our media affiliates, visit buildingthebakken.com. That's buildingthebakken.com. Building the Bakken would also like to thank its sponsors, MBI Energy Services, cutting edge in oil field safety solutions. For more information on MBI Energy Services or to check out their latest job offerings, visit mbienergyservices.com. That's mbienergyservices.com. Hatch Realty. Hatch Realty's in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. The Eric Hatch team may not sell real estate in your community, but they can be a resource and a connection for you. Give them a call today at 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572. Hatch Realty, in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. The Lodge at Deadwood. The next time you're planning a conference, wedding, or weekend getaway, consider the Lodge at Deadwood. For more information, visit DeadwoodLodge.com. That's DeadwoodLodge.com. That's the Lodge at Deadwood, located in the beautiful Black Hills. And from the staff at Building the Bakken, my name is Jason Spies. We're asking you to be safe, be happy, and make it a great day. Thank you, folks, for joining us. We'll see you next week. Like we're kind of like that. Oh, yeah. Let me take a moment to talk to you about Eric Hatch and Hatch Coaching. Eric Hatch has built an empire on the business of helping others, and in this case, that means helping companies create wealth and abundance. Eric Hatch speaks on workplace culture, honesty in the workplace, transparency, faith, compassionate capitalism, and many other topics that will grow your business. Call and reserve Eric Hatch today, 701-318-4946, or I'll tell you what, send me an email, jason@thecrudelife.com, and I'll make sure that it gets to Eric Hatch.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. Learn more at MBIEnergyServices.com.
Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery, a project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.